Welcome to Mastering Logical Fallacies, the online course. This is the audio version of the online course presented at MasteringLogicalFallacies.com. For the complete learning experience, including multimedia presentations, quizzes, assignments, peer-to-peer discussion, instructor interaction, and more, enroll as a student at MasteringLogicalFallacies.com. My name is Beau Bennett, and I am your instructor for this course. When it comes to circular reasoning, I want to talk about this idea that some philosophies state that we can never escape circular reasoning. And a perfect example of this is reasoning itself. Some may argue that if we are reasoning, how can we trust our reason, or how can we demonstrate that our reasoning is valid or it works? And we can't reason that our reason is reasonable, because there we have a circular argument. Why does our reason work? Well, we reason that it does, or we could give reasons why it works. So if we give reasons why our reason is valid, then we are talking in circles. So that doesn't quite work. So where does this become a fallacy, and how come saying that reasoning is valid is not a circular argument? Well, I would say that if anybody did come out and say that you can trust your reason because there is many reasons for it, or something like that, that would be a circular reasoning fallacy, because just the way that it's stated. However, if somebody were to come out and say, well, reasoning is a foundational axiom, that we have to trust our reasoning because that is the best we have, then that's a completely different argument altogether. There's no circular reasoning involved in there, and you're making a claim, but you're also admitting in a way that it's the best we have and it's not perfect. I don't know anybody who would ever say that reasoning is perfect and reasoning works all the time. We know that it doesn't. We know that people reason incorrectly. But once again, it is the best we have. Sort of like science. Science is not a perfect endeavor, far from it, but it is the best we have to get information and knowledge about the world. And that's the best we could hope for. So when it comes to circular reasoning, you may have somebody on perhaps religiously motivated who would make a claim such as the Bible is the word of God because God tells us it is in the Bible. And a common response, and very clearly that's a circular argument, and if you tell them that, then they might come back and ask you about your reason and say that is a circular argument. One of the big differences, again, I just want to stress, is that we are making no direct circular arguments, and we are making no claims of perfection. If you notice that the Bible is the word of God because it tells us in the Bible, there is an implicit claim there that we have a perfect way to gain knowledge, and ironically, anybody who makes that statement is using their reason to come to that conclusion. So the reason is still the foundation on which they rest everything. And then if they try to support their reason, saying, well, God is the foundation of reason, well, again, that's a reason that they're giving. So they may try to play some linguistic gymnastics, but it's not going to work, because everybody faces the same problem that comes down to just accepting reason based on axioms alone. Begging the question is a form of circular reasoning. And one thing that I want to make perfectly clear when it comes to begging the question, it is so often misused when people say, well, that begs the question. Many times what they mean is that raises the question, and there's a big difference. Begging a question is a fallacy, which we'll go over in a moment, and raising a question is something very different. That's what, when you ask a question or you make a statement, then that leads to a question that needs to be answered in order to address that statement. That's what raising a question means. Begging the question is a specific form of circular reasoning where the conclusion is assumed in one of the premises. So there are many different forms that this could take. It could appear more as an argument. For example, if then, if this, then that. Or it could be more of just a simple question or a statement. One of the examples that I use is paranormal activity is real because I have experienced what only can be described as paranormal activity. Well, there you're begging the question. You're begging the question because you're saying that what can only be described as paranormal activity is already assuming that paranormal activity must be real. You couldn't say that unless you already assumed the conclusion. Recently, somebody asked me if this were a fallacy of begging the question. If it weren't illegal, then it would not be prohibited by law. Apparently, this is an example that's out there on the internet of begging the question, and I would have to disagree that this is begging the question. And I would actually have, I could probably say that if you could somehow work this into being a fallacy of begging the question, it would have to be a really, really weak example. And the reason is because it's really a definition. You're saying that breaking the law or something being illegal is kind of by definition something that's prohibited by law. You're just saying the same thing on both sides of the equation in different ways. So in a counterexample or another example that is not a fallacy would be to say, because he can't have children, then he is sterile. Now, there's no real argument here unless you're claiming that a good argument for the reason that he's sterile is because he can't have children, which is just silly. It's just basically restating the same thing. You're not introducing any new information. You're simply taking a definition and rewording the definition. So it's really a fallacy of a definition, if you want to call it that, as opposed to a fallacy of reasoning. Going back to the paranormal activity, you could see that we can't switch out the same definition in there because we're talking about paranormal activity, but we're claiming that it's real. And why are we claiming that it's real? Because we have experienced what can only be described as paranormal activity. That's not the same as being real. That's pretty much a reason that we're giving for why we think it's real. But of course, the reason presupposes that it's real. So hopefully you could see the distinction there between what is fallacious and what is not, what's more really just a silly way to try to describe something that isn't very helpful at all by rewording something in a certain way. The complex question fallacy goes by many different names. It's also known as the many questions fallacy, fallacy of presupposition, loaded questions, trick question, false question. Trick question is probably the most common that you hear most people say that aren't really trained in logic or fallacies. It's a trick question because you're actually, the question has the presupposition built in, which implies something. And that implication protects the person from actually making the claim outright. And many times the reason why it becomes even more fallacious is when the person uses this complex question fallacy to try to trick somebody into giving an answer. A funny example is in the movie Legally Blonde. And it's a silly movie, but it's funny when Luke Wilson goes up in court and asks the defendant a bunch of questions in rapid-fire order. The first several questions are just normal, standard questions that he could quickly answer yes or no. And the last question he asks, what was your boyfriend's name? And the point of the question was to, and he quickly responded with Raul or Raphael or something like that. And the question was to trick him and not ask him if he was gay. So he avoided the real question asking him if he was gay, because if he was gay, then he wouldn't have an affair with this woman, and the court case would go in a completely different direction. But that's beside the point. The point of this is that he didn't ask him directly if he was gay. He asked him what his boyfriend's name was. So there is the perfect example of a complex question, or a loaded question, or a trick question, because in the question itself, inherent, is assuming that he is gay. Now, these trick questions are tricky because it generally takes more cognitive energy to deconstruct that question and take out that implicit question or the implicit assumption that's buried within that question and address that implicit assumption rather than simply just answer the question. That's why when it's done in rapid fire or if it's done in a high pressure situation, people say things that they don't mean to say. They give information that they don't really want to share because of this high pressure situation. So that is why it is a fallacy.